Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In New York, Donald Trump has been found guilty in a historic hush money case, and we have a short but direct statement on that. In Tennessee, the saga surrounding the foreclosure and sale of iconic Graceland has ended, and you won't believe the result. And in Alabama, a man commits quadruple homicide by killing his grandparents, brother, and a family friend. These stories and more coming at you today, Monday, June 3rd, on Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Kelly Jennings.
Yes, Kelly, you are back for a second episode this, I guess, past 7 days. And we appreciate that, by the way. We know you have, I don't know, if better things to do, I guess.
I
don't know how to verbalize it, but we know you got shit going on.
I do. I'm busy. But listen, you don't pass up an opportunity to be on the Real Life Real Crime
Daily. Oh, I love that. And I know Woody appreciates that. And
of course, we miss you, Woody.
That's right. Get well soon. And hopefully he's feeling a little bit better by now. And we'll be back in effect here shortly. But
until then, you get to hear this voice.
That's right. And we're going to jump right into it. And a New York jury on Thursday found Donald Trump guilty on all 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. The first time a former U.S. president has been convicted of a crime. The jury reached its verdict in the historic case after 9.5 hours of deliberations, which began Wednesday. He'll be sentenced on July 11th, 4 days from the Republican National Convention, and he faces penalties from a fine to 4 years in prison on each count, although it's expected he would be sentenced for offenses concurrently and not consecutively. Trump did speak to reporters briefly upon leaving the courtroom, and here's what that sounded like.
This was a disgrace. This was a rigged trial by a conflicted judge who was corrupt. It's a rigged trial, a disgrace. They wouldn't give us a venue change. We were at 5% or 6% in this district, in this area. This was a rigged, disgraceful trial. But the real verdict is going to be November 5th by the people. And they know what happened here, and everybody knows what happened here. You have a Soros-backed DA and the whole thing. We didn't do a thing wrong. I'm a very innocent man. And it's okay. I'm fighting for our country. I'm fighting for our Constitution. Our whole country is being rigged right now. This was done by the Biden administration in order to wound or hurt an opponent, a political opponent. And I think it's just a disgrace. And we'll keep fighting. We'll fight till the end and we'll win because our country's gone to hell. We don't have the same country anymore. We have a divided mess. We're a nation in decline, serious decline. Millions and millions of people pouring into our country right now from prisons and from mental institutions, terrorists, and they're taking over our country. We have a country that's in big trouble. But this was a rigged decision right from day one. with a conflicted judge who should have never been allowed to try this case, never. And we will fight for our Constitution. This is long from over. Thank you very much.
So there you have it. Now, we, of course, like everyone else, have opinions and thoughts on this. However, this platform and this podcast is not the place to share them. Both Woody and I agree that with the heavy political end that this particular event entails, that type of discussion belongs on a politically based podcast, which we are not. But to not have brought you this story would have been an obvious avoidance on what is the largest crime-related story in the country right now, and a failure to at least report the facts of what is a truly historic verdict to our listeners. So there it is, and that's what we're going to say about it.
It'll be interesting to watch how it plays out, see where it goes from here, at least from a worldly view.
That's right.
Right? You know, what will our outcome be? We'll see.
That's right.
You want me to go next? Sorry.
you can jump right into whatever right. you got now.
All right. You can boom that. If you...
No, I kind of like it. Okay. We're going to leave it.
Wow. Awkward. Welcome to Awkwardville, population one. All right. Well, this one's interesting to me. So new Louisiana law criminalizes approaching police after being ordered to stay back. So Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry has signed legislation making it a crime to knowingly approach within 25 feet of a police officer while they are engaged in, quote, law enforcement duties, end quote, after the officer has ordered that person to stay back. Mm. And I wholeheartedly understand where that's coming from, having a law enforcement background, but I'll get there in a second. Proponents of the new law argue it creates a buffer zone to help ensure the safety of officers. Opponents of the law fear the measure could hinder the public's ability to film officers and exercise First Amendment rights. So critics of the new Louisiana law, which makes it a crime to approach within 25 feet of a police officer under certain circumstances, fear that the measure would hinder the public's ability to film officers, a tool that has increasingly been used to hold police accountable. Under the law, anyone who is convicted of knowingly or intentionally approaching an officer who is lawfully engaged in the execution of his official duties and after having been ordered to stop approaching and retreat faces up to a $500 fine, up to 60 days in jail, or both. The law was signed by Governor Jeff Landry, a Republican, Tuesday and goes into effect August 1st. So while the legislation's language doesn't specifically mention filming, critics say that by default, it would limit how close a person could be to observe police. Opponents have also gone further to question the law's constitutionality, saying it could impede on a person's First Amendment rights. Mm. Now, being one who is not going to hold my tongue on this one, I wholeheartedly agree with this legislation. The thing here is the people who are critics of this, number one, I do not believe have ever worked in law enforcement, period. Right. I don't believe you've worked in law enforcement. Maybe you've studied it. Maybe you've, you know, been around it. There's been people in your family. Well, great. I have a veterinarian in my family. Doesn't mean I'm a vet, right?
Right.
So whenever you're in a situation that can potentially go wrong and you haven't had time to pat down a suspect, frisk them, you haven't had time to assess the situation, and you're trying to handle what's happening inside that, I'm going to say vehicle, like assuming you've pulled someone over, for example, you haven't had time to assess that situation for your safety and for the person's safety within the vehicle. And then you have these numbnuts, they call themselves the First Amendment auditors, okay, mm-hmm. that come up and they impose themselves into the situation, which now draws the officer's attention off of the issue at hand and now onto the other person, again, officer safety. You don't know what that person has. The camera is not the issue. Right. It's what that person conceals, possibly, that becomes the issue. And it takes your eye off of the suspect or the person that you are having an interaction with. And to me, you are impeding in an investigation. And my safety is paramount.
I agree 100%. And I'll tell you, if you go on YouTube, you can actually see some of these auditors, as they call themselves. And they are some of the most brazen, rude jerks
I've ever seen. They're trying to elicit a response.
Yeah, they will actually try to incite the officer. And look, I'm all for making sure everybody's doing their job properly and all those sorts of things. Number one, 25 feet, you can tell that.
Yeah.
You don't need to get closer than that. 25 feet, you can tell if an officer is exceeding his authority, let's say. But these folks ain't doing it to protect your rights. They're doing it because they want clicks and they want money off YouTube.
Yeah, and people who watch it, who want to argue with them, don't understand that. You're fueling them to make money. It is not about your First Amendment right.
No.
It's about money. And I'm going to tell you, and I get a little heated about this because I have friends that are on the streets right now and I want them to go home to their kids. And there's incidences that have happened right here where we're from. These numbnuts aren't pulling up and coming out of their car and saying, look, I'm just filming, which an officer would respect. It's irritating, but would respect. They're dressing in all black at night, hiding in the woods. If you don't believe this, you need to research this. You need to ask an officer what they're doing. And then they come up. You know, I have a friend that one time was helping a lady. Like her car had broke down or something like that. He was helping the lady. He was offering to get her a ride, right? To help her get from point A to point B. And they come and they jump up in the middle of it. And it causes a situation where why are you getting in the middle of it?
Right.
This is not a First Amendment issue. This is a trying to make the officer get upset.
Yeah.
Give an illicit response to that because it's aggravating and they're trying to be aggravating. It's no different than a kid that knows the rules in school. And they continue to break those rules just because it pisses off the administration.
Yeah. And they have one actually operating in this area where we record in Livingston Parish. And if you're listening, you're out there, you suck.
You need to get a life.
Yeah. But they actually, I've seen them go into CASA.
Yeah.
And explain to people what CASA is.
So basically that's going to be people that are going to be representing children that don't have representation necessarily themselves and are trying to teach them, you know, good things and spend time with them and give them, you know,
could be abused children,
yeah, relationships and give them a foundation of someone that they can depend on and can be of guidance to them.
Right. And I've seen them walk in there with a cell phone camera and sometimes even bigger cameras than that. And I'm talking the ones right here locally. And, this is in public. And look, you got children in there that have been through some bad circumstances in a lot of times. And they're actually filming them. They see nothing wrong with that because it's a public lobby.
Yeah. And let me ask
Come
you.
Come on, man.
And check this out. What if those kids were in a sexual abuse situation where cameras were involved?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And
they're in public and we have a right to do
right.
it.
Right. Well, I'm in public too. Just remember that.
I know.
You know,
it's
and
awful.
When it comes to children, I feel my mama bear come out. Like I'm getting goosebumps. Look at my arms.
Yeah.
Because you don't do that to children.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And
just because you can do it, don't mean you should do it.
Right. And then one of those guys is going to end up catching a bullet one day because they're not from law enforcement. I mean, from a citizen who's not going to take it. Mm. And then it's going to cause this huge uproar because you can't respect boundaries.
Right. Yeah.
Of people, you know?
Well, so we say all that to say, obviously, both of us are glad to see this law that Governor Jeff Landry has signed. And of course, you know, Governor Jeff Landry is known to be tough on crime. And this is another step towards trying to alleviate some of the issues that we've had with crime.
Right.
So we're going to go to Memphis, Tennessee. And look, you an Elvis fan?
I'm all shook up.
Yeah, there you go. Who's not an Elvis fan? That's what I'd like to know. It's hard to not
be
an Elvis fan.
This is weird, but he is so dang handsome when he was younger.
Yeah.
I know you know it, Jim.
Yeah, he was a good-looking man. I mean, I'm comfortable enough in my
sexuality.
Step
off of his blue suede shoes.
Yeah, yeah, and he could sing. There's no doubt about it. And dance and do just about anything, you know, anything you need to do to be a stud, I guess. Well, I did a entire episode on Exposed, Scandalous Files of the Elite, on this scam. And at the time, it wasn't realized to be a scam, but I sensed it was a scam. And it was to do with Graceland. So if you haven't heard about this, last month, Graceland all of a sudden pops up in a Memphis paper, and it says Graceland is being foreclosed on and will be sold on the steps of the courthouse on this date. And they have to put out a public notice of that. And, you know, everybody, including the owners of Graceland, were like, what?
Excuse me?
Yeah. So long story short, to kind of take this down for you and explain to you what went on, Obviously, Elvis's daughter passed away in 2023. Mm-hmm. She had a daughter. Her daughter inherited Graceland. That's the granddaughter. Her last name, well, her name was Riley Keough. And Riley Keough inherited Graceland. Everything was fine. And all of a sudden that notice comes out and this company, this loan company, was claiming that they were owed $3.8 million from Lisa Marie Presley that she had taken out a loan. And they had all these documents, her signatures on them, everything. They even had it notarized. It was a notarized document. Mm-hmm. So Miss Riley Keough knew there's no way my mother would ever put a loan against Graceland. There's just no way.
Yeah, just as an outsider looking at it, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
She didn't need it.
Right. And her mom's signature did not look right to her. It looked like her signature, but something was off with it. So she fought this, and like one day before it was supposed to be foreclosed on, she got kind of a stay of foreclosure from the judge. Get this. A self-proclaimed identity thief based in Nigeria has claimed responsibility over the puzzling and now court-blocked auction of Elvis Presley's Graceland mansion. The thief sent an email to the New York Times claiming to be part of a criminal network that targets the dead and the elderly. Mm. That's a
your
pretty
moral,
awesome human being.
Your
huh?
moral compass is interesting.
Yeah, particularly those from Florida and California. The statement, which was sent in reply to questions about the case, came from an email address listed in court documents related to Nasani Investments, which was the company that supposedly loaned $3.8 million to Lisa Marie Presley. "We figure out how to steal," the thief wrote the New York Times. "That's what we do." In the alleged thief actually accepted defeat. "I had fun figuring this one out and it didn't succeed very well." So at the end of the day, that is the result of that case. This guy has now admitted he's a scammer out of Nigeria and he almost pulled it off. That's the scary thing. So that brought me to this thought. Lisa, of course, this was Graceland.
Right.
That's one situation. But how many times has this happened? Let's say your mother died and maybe your father had already passed years mm-hmm. before that. And you get this document. It says, oh, your mom took out a loan and the signature looks right. It's notarized. You don't know if your mom did it or not. Maybe she lived on her own. Most people might just pay that. Or they might just let that house be repossessed. The reason this didn't succeed was only because, in my opinion, it was Graceland.
Yeah, and I bet you Graceland.
You had someone that knew there's no way this is possible.
Yeah. So the average Joe who doesn't have disposable income
to fight it, or may not even realize to fight it because everything kind of looks on the up and up on the outside.
I'm just curious though. Yeah, you're right. And they're screwing over people left and right. That's why they do it. I'm just curious. There was no checks and balances. Like, I mean, I know that you said the paperwork looked legit.
All the paperwork, they even had it down to, they had transposed the signature of an actual notary on everything. And it looked, and it was the signature of that notary. You can fake that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the only way that they figured out the notary didn't do it was, the attorney for Miss Riley Keough contacted the notary, and the notary said, "That's my signature, but I never met Lisa Marie Presley, and I have never notarized." Yeah, you wouldn't forget that. So they knew right there something's wrong.
Right.
But how many people are going to take those many steps?
I know.
You know?
Like the average person going to work, a teacher or a person who works in the plant, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not going to have the time and the resources necessarily to go find someone to fight this and to look into it. You're a horrible human being. And whoever this prince is in Nigeria, suck it.
Yeah. There you go.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
All right. Well, speaking of people who suck, an Alabama man is charged with allegedly killing his grandparents, his brother, and a family friend with a gun and a pickaxe. Mm. So a grand jury has returned an indictment around a 22-year-old man who allegedly killed his grandparents, his brother, and the family friend just hours after bonding out of jail. Jared Smith Bracey was charged with four counts of capital murder for the death of his brother, Jeremy Smith, who was 27, his grandmother, Barbara Smith, who was 72, his grandfather, Leonard Smith, who was 80, and then a family friend who was Sheila Glover, who was 71. So Smith Bracey could face the death penalty if he's convicted. Glover and Barbara were best friends. So this old lady's over there just hanging out with her best friend when, you know, death walks through the door. Jeez. So way back on February 23rd of 2023, at approximately 6 p.m., officers received multiple calls about shots fired at a home in Daphne, Alabama. Upon arrival, they found the four victims deceased. A SWAT team assisted police in searching for Smith Bracey, and he was found hiding in the woods behind the house. So he was arrested and taken into custody on charges of capital murder. The Daphne Police Sergeant, Jason Vinoy, said Jeremy Smith, Barbara Smith, and Sheila Glover were shot to death outside of the home. Now, this spoke to me, this part. While Leonard Smith was bludgeoned to death with the pickaxe in his bedroom, which, I mean, I don't want to overanalyze this, but to pickaxe someone is very personal. Very personal. So I don't know if he ran out of bullets and then, you know, I don't know how many bullets he had, but to go pickaxe your grandfather who's 80 years old, you have a problem. So Vinoy believes the grandfather was the last victim killed, and then Smith Bracey allegedly went outside and beat the other victims even though they had already been shot. Smith Bracey had been arrested earlier that day on a charge of criminal mischief because he reportedly damaged a door at the home. He bonded out of jail at 5 p.m., got a ride back to the house, and that's when he took a gun from the car and immediately started shooting when he got back inside. He's been in custody at the Baldwin County Jail without bond since his arrest, and he's pleaded not guilty due to mental defect or disease at his initial court hearing on February 24th of 2023. Vinoy said the killings appeared to be premeditated. Smith Bracey was reportedly cooperative and very polite in his police interviews following his arrest, but showed no remorse. Well, that's your typical sociopath. I mean, yeah. Of course you show no remorse. You went and you did it. And then you're polite because you've accomplished your goal.
You almost never hear about quadruple murders, especially when it just doesn't involve like a public shooting where someone just pulls up. These people he all knew. I mean, they were relative. They were direct family members,
and
with the exception of one. And
the fact his brother was there, too, makes me wonder, did they live with the grandparents? And then Daphne was just Daphne, the friend, Sheila, was she just over visiting? Because he just bailed out of jail.
It appears that way. I mean, that's the way I took it. But, you nailed it on the head when you said it was very personal with that pickaxe, man.
Yeah.
You got to get up close and personal with somebody.
And that's not just one blow, too. I mean, you're going to be wailing on somebody. And then to go back outside and then beat people who have already been shot.
Yeah.
You're a problem. And then when it says could face the death penalty, well, you deserve it.
Yeah. If anybody deserves it, it sounds like a situation like that.
Jeez.
Lost his mind.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are going to, I guess this will lighten it up a little bit, and we got a new segment on this show, and it's called You Can't Make This Shit Up.
I love it.
And this is one you cannot make up, Kelly Jennings. Investigators charge that a funeral home worker planned to use a body bag to smuggle a life-size doll out of a home of a man who died in his Nebraska residence. Yep. Ryan Smith, 42, was arrested for breaking into an Omaha apartment where the deceased man lived. At the time, he worked for Mid-America First Call, and they handle removal, transportation, embalming, cremations, and ship-outs. So Smith and a co-worker, they were dispatched to the Rock Creek Apartments to collect the deceased body. Inside the unit, a sheriff's deputy noted, near the body on the bed was a very real life-size version of an adult female.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Both of the males came in to collect the body, and they made comments about the sex doll found on that location. Smith's initial entry into the apartment was with law enforcement personnel, who subsequently locked and secured that home. Later that day, Smith returned to the residence, and he was carrying a body bag. He was telling the apartment complex staff he was acting on behalf of the sheriff's department and wished to collect the sex doll located in the deceased tenant's apartment for evidence purposes. Additionally, he told the workers he was there to collect a stretcher he claimed was left behind. After Smith was let into the apartment a second time, a management official discovered the unit's front door was deadbolted and latched with a chain across the door. The complex representative confronted Smith, whose shirt was untucked and his pants were in disarray.
Oh, good God.
I'm telling you, you can't make this shit up.
Oh, my God.
And he told him that no property could be removed from the dead man's home.
Or added, for that matter.
Yeah. As he was leaving the Rock City development a second time, Smith asked a janitor where the manager of the apartment building, when the manager of that apartment building left. The manager told cops that she feared Smith was going to return to the complex and break in to steal the doll, obviously after that manager left the scene. Police found that Smith unlawfully entered that apartment with a body bag, which is indicative based on circumstantial evidence, and that he had the intent to take a sex doll, an item of nominal value. Therefore, he was arrested for burglary. I know one thing, you can't make that shit up.
No. How dare you go in and kidnap that deceased man's woman?
It's just crazy to go. I mean, why? You can't make that shit up?
On a side note, you know, I'm one of those weirdos that, like, I want to have my underwear be nice and my pajamas match at night because I'm always afraid I'm getting, like, murdered, and I want my crime scene photos to be, like, on point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I ain't leaving a sex doll on my bed. I must be vanilla.
Yeah, I mean, there's some freakiness going on in the world. But
you can go steal some man's sex doll. What if she has an STD? You don't even know.
Well, she's definitely got some crazy stuff going on.
Ugh. So what was he going to do, throw the body bag over his shoulder and just roll out? Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here.
I can't explain it.
Jim, next time.
Can't relate.
If you go to steal a sex doll, let me know. Let me know how that works.
Next time I do that, I will. I'll inform you.
All right. This isn't funny at all. But Buc-ee's. How many of y'all love Buc-ee's? Do you love Buc-ee's?
I love Buc-ee's. I've been to the one in Texas that, I forget, it's on the way to Houston, I think.
Wait a minute. You say Houston?
Houston.
I said Houston. Houston.
Well, that's what I said. Houston.
But I do know people that say Houston. Hmm. So I thought you were one of them. A Houstoner.
No. A Houstonite.
A Houstonite. Well, Buc-ee's is like my mecca. My husband knows it too. When we get to Buc-ee's, get out my way. I'm shopping, I'm eating, I'm drinking, and I'm peeing. I'm doing all the things. But now I'm going to be thinking too, because the Buc-ee's co-founder's son was indicted on multiple counts for secretly filming guests in a bathroom at the lake house.
Oh, wow.
Mitchell Wasik is accused of secretly.
There you go.
Was accused of secretly recording guests in the bathrooms of a family lake house and two other locations. The son of Buc-ee's co-founder, Don Wasik, has been convicted on 21 counts for allegedly secretly filming party guests using the bathroom at his family's Texas lake house. A grand jury returned 6 separate indictments against 28-year-old Mitchell Wasik on May 17th. Charging him with 21 counts of invasive visual recording. The charges, the DA's office said, pertain to 13 victims who were allegedly secretly recorded by Wasik over nearly a 2-year period.
Wow.
Yeah. So this wasn't like at a party, he just got crazy. 2 years. Think of the people and the ages of all of these victims that could have been in and out of that home.
Yeah.
Mitchell Wasik was arrested on October 2023 and originally faced 28 counts of invasive visual recording. Guests at the family's house on Lake Travis spotted a charging port for Wasik's hidden camera in a bathroom wall, and they reported him to authorities in May. Witnesses took the camera from the lake house and viewed its contents, which included recordings of the guests in, quote, various states of undress. The camera reportedly contained recordings of 13 people in bathrooms at the lake house and two other locations, including an Austin apartment and a home in Telluride, Colorado, owned by the Wasiks. The recordings allegedly show people using the toilet, showering, changing clothes, and having sex.
Oh, my.
The Travis County District Attorney's Office takes the work of presenting all facts and evidence to a grand jury very seriously, Travis County District Attorney Jose Garza said. And in this case, a group of independent Travis County community members heard the evidence and law and decided that Mr. Wasik's conduct was unlawful. This is such an egregious invasion of, and these people obviously trusted you or believed in you.
Oh, sure.
To come into your home.
I mean, and not that it matters, but you know, these are very, very, very wealthy people. I mean, if you're the son of the guy that owns Buc-ee's,
right?
You listed the homes that they have. They got houses all over the place. You got a lot of money. And not that that matters. I mean, it doesn't, but the perception there is that probably that you wouldn't even try to do something like that.
It's not necessary.
But you know that with technology now, you have to be very cognizant of your surroundings. Look, they make cameras now that they stick in a pin.
Yeah.
You know, and you never know it was there, and it's filming you doing everything from sex dolls to whatever. Well, and it's just, I can't imagine the feeling that someone would have not knowing they were on film somewhere.
Well, I can. Let me tell you this. It wasn't me. I'm a teacher for people who may not know me. And I had a student, beautiful girl, even if she wasn't, okay, a human being with a heart and a soul, came into my classroom and started sobbing one day. And I'm like, what's going on, baby? And she told me they had had a birthday party right here in Baton Rouge at a venue.
Mm-hmm.
And she went to use the restroom and she saw something flash. And so when she got done using the bathroom, she was looking, trying to figure, do you know they found a camera in that bathroom? I guess it was motion detector. And all those underage girls.
Oh, yeah.
All of them just trying to have a good party.
Yeah, and it's horrible. But even if they're not underage.
I mean, anybody.
40-year-old woman. I mean, what does it matter?
But you're affecting their life. I'm just saying. Yeah. It makes me more angry because it's a kid, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, you expect to go to these places with people you trust or places that you trust. And then someone to take advantage of your decency, you know, and to compromise you in that way and then have to go to court.
Yeah.
Is this you?
Yeah.
I mean, ugh.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see there's a lot of laws changing now to kind of catch these people. There's even like revenge porn laws now. I mean, some people, you know, they might film themselves doing the nasty.
Yeah.
And then they break up and all of a sudden the husband's like, well, if you break up with me, I'm going to put this video out there of or boyfriend or whatever, or girlfriend maybe. Yeah. Who knows? And
hey, bitches be crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, the laws have changed now to where you can get, that's a serious felony. Revenge porn. If you've got a picture of someone it's a compromising picture. Let's say it's not necessarily porn that you did with them, but let's say you've got a picture of someone that you were able to get somehow and you were using it as something to stop them from doing something, you know, pick a thing, but, you can go to jail for that. That third party has to approve of you spreading that anywhere. And if you're caught,
and
people do it.
Absolutely.
They used to have a whole site. I watched a Netflix deal.
Wait, you went to the site, Jim?
No, I did not go to the site, but I saw a Netflix movie on the site, and the site was all about like getting revenge against your ex. And you could just post. It was just a thread where you post nude pictures of that person.
That's horrible.
It eventually got taken down because it literally ruined people's lives in some cases.
I'm sure, and careers and everything else. And, you know, not to be a freak or anything, but you're allowed to do things in the privacy of your own home, and it's not illegal what you're doing. No. You know, and you can do things, whatever. But when someone takes advantage of your trust, again, that you had a trust in that person.
Yeah.
And decency, man. I mean, you don't do that to people.
No. So hopefully he gets the book thrown at him.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Up, we've got a Super Cops segment that we're bringing at you right now, and we are going to bring you to, well, I guess San Diego, and the U.S. Coast Guard. They're going to be our Super Cops for today. You know, people don't really think about, like, the Coast Guard and all the great things that they do, not only when you're in a natural disaster and they're plucking you off a roof,
right,
but they do a lot with the drug trade as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't talk about that enough, so I thought that'd be fun to talk about a pretty major drug bust that they just made. The U.S. Coast Guard announced it had unloaded a hefty quantity of confiscated cocaine. The yayo, as they call it, in San Diego, California, that was worth, you ready for this? An estimated $468 million.
We're in the wrong business, Jim.
The nearly 34,000 pounds of coca was seized while intersecting 8 separate suspected drug smuggling vessels off the coast of Mexico and Central and South America by the Coast Guard Cutter Monroe in February and March. Coast Guard Cutter Monroe Captain Rula Deischer said the seizure of the cocaine, it is a testament to his crew's dedication and grit. The crew put an incredible amount of work in over very long hours, and I couldn't be prouder of them. Their dedication and grit goes to show that Monroe is one of the best national security cutters in the fleet, and we are committed to keeping the country safe by stopping illegal drugs. The latest seizure is the largest since the Coast Guard announced the seizure of 33,200 pounds of cocaine and 12,400 pounds of marijuana in October. The offloaded drugs were interdicted during 13 separate cases in October in the Eastern Pacific Ocean. So we want to shout out those, you know, the entire Coast Guard, I guess.
Hell yeah, that's bad.
They're all going to be our Super Cops for today. So thank you very much to all those guys and gals of the Coast Guard that, look, that's a lot of powder.
That's a, yeah.
You know so how the they knew it was cocaine?
Huh.
They smelled it. They sniffed it. So, I say that joke every time we do it. You know it's cocaine? Smell
so,
it.
So we're going to start having like some rogue sharks or some shit, and they're going to be like, just like getting wild out in the,
maybe
in the wilderness.
Maybe that's why
and
they
they're
do
coked
get wild
out of their mind.
Yeah.
Not, you know what's scary? A great white. You know what's even scarier? A fucking coked out great white.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're right. You're right. Well,
all right. I got one more for you.
You got one more for us. I'm ready to hear it.
It's got the word naked in it, Jim.
Oh,
okay.
I'm all ears.
Get ready.
I'm
okay.
All ears.
A naked Chicago woman who stole police car dragged officer found not guilty by reason of insanity.
Oh.
A Chicago woman who allegedly stole a police squad car, stole the freaking cop car, and dragged an officer all while naked and on camera was found not guilty. Whitney Temple, 35 years old, was acquitted of all charges Wednesday after a judge agreed with her mental insanity defense.
Whoa.
Cook County Judge Tyria, I'm sorry if I said that wrong, Walton, found her not guilty on one count of attempted murder and also found her not guilty by reason of insanity on two counts of aggravated battery to a police officer, vehicle hijacking, and possession of a stolen vehicle. While Temple will remain free, she must report to court for a meeting with mental health officials on a treatment plan. Temple faced charges after police said she stole a police car and dragged an officer who found her lying naked on a street in West Garfield Park on June 13 of 22. Chicago police officer Edward Popish discovered Temple after responding to a call of shots fired in the area that morning. When he exited his patrol vehicle to find out what she was doing, Temple assaulted the officer and drove off in his car. The superintendent, David Brown, said at the time. Video of the encounter circulated on social media and resurfaced after Temple was acquitted. In the video, the police officer appears to struggle with a woman in the driver's seat of his patrol SUV. She puts the vehicle in reverse and the officer tumbles out of the unlocked front door. For a few moments, the SUV drags the officer as the driver backs up until the cop breaks away from the vehicle. The officer, Popish was his name, can be seen getting on his knees as the police SUV drives away with the door ajar. Temple was later apprehended after she drove the police car at 90 miles per hour down the Kennedy Expressway and crashed into four other cars. Mm. Temple's defense lawyer argued she was in a psychotic state and had concerned her family and friends for days before the incident. She had a paranoid idea that people were after her and wanted to kill the women in her family.
Wonderful.
Now, I will tell you this. A friend of mine that is a very accomplished law enforcement officer told me one time, Kelly, just remember, naked means fight. And I was like, wait, what? And he said, when you are on duty, naked means fighting. And he told me a story. I'm not going to go into it in long-term detail, but he got called out to the river. You know, we got rivers out here, y'all. And everybody's partying on their boats. And so he heard over the radio, naked woman. He was like, hell yeah, I'm on it, right? And, he rolls out there. And when he gets there, it's not the woman he was hoping. He was thinking more Baywatch.
Yeah.
And he got a little bit more beached whale, large and in charge, about $4.50, naked and chugging straight from like a vodka bottle.
Yeah.
And so she ended up knocking him out with the fat roll of her arm.
The dangling
part of your arm.
Oh, my.
And I think that's funny because if you saw him, he swelled up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then he got knocked out by fat roll.
Well, you know what? You know what's interesting about that story is she was able to get off on that claim of insanity, and you almost never see that.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some cases where I don't think, let me preface this with, they should get off on this,
right?
But you know, there's a lot of serial killers out there that are probably crazy as Lane. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they're probably pretty insane, but they don't get off for that, and I don't think they should. But
right.
pretty bizarre that,
well, and from
that was able to get pulled. I almost never see that.
From the officer point of view, too, what if she had killed him? What
right.
if she had killed those people on the highway? So
yeah.
I don't understand. And again, I'm not a judge, so I don't want to step out and someone come after me on this one. But why wouldn't she be, instead of sent to jail? And this is an argument, by the way, in society, is why wouldn't she be sentenced to a mental institution just to get her under control,
yeah,
instead of just free?
Every case that I've heard or researched, that's what happens. They just don't go to like prison. They go
right.
to like the loony bin.
Yeah. Well, we have lots of inmates that need to be in mental health facilities, not necessarily criminal prison. Now, they've done criminal acts, I guess, but if they would have had mental health care, I think beforehand, we might could have
There's a lot of people in there.
This.
Drug related stuff
yeah.
that they really need to be in rehab
yeah.
facilities,
yeah.
you know, in some cases. So anyway,
we need facilities for people like us that just get tired.
Yeah.
We can just go take a break.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm down for that. Kelly, thank you for joining us for a second time in the past week.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Check out Unspeakable, a true crime podcast by Kelly Jennings. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts, really. And she does a great job. Till next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Kelly Jennings.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.